A reading from the book of Genesis. In those days, the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grave, that I must go down and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out." While Abram's visitors walked on further toward Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Then Abraham drew nearer and said, "Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty? Suppose there were 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it for the sake of the 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice?" The Lord replied, "If I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham spoke up again, "See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord, though I am but dust and ashes. What if there are 5 less than 50 innocent people? Will you destroy the whole city because of those 5? He answered, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." But Abraham persisted, saying, "What if only 40 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. Then Abraham said, "Let not my Lord grow impatient if I go on. What if only 30 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it if I can find but 30 there." But still Abraham went on, "Since I have thus dared to speak to my Lord, what if there are no more than 20? The Lord answered, "I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. But still he persisted, Please let not my Lord grow angry if I speak up this last time. What if there are at least 10 there?" He replied, "For the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. You have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I praise you. I bow down toward your holy temple. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. I give thanks to your name for your merciful love and your faithfulness. You have exalted your name over all. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased the strength of my soul. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. The Lord is high, yet he looks on the lowly, and the haughty he knows from afar. You give me life, though I walk amid affliction. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will accomplish this for me. O Lord, your merciful love is eternal. Discard not the work of your hands. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in the transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven all of us our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia. 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 You have received a spirit of adoption, through which we cry, Abba, Father. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. The late, great football coach, Vince Lombardi, was a fanatic about fundamentals. Now, those who played under his leadership often spoke of his intensity, his drive, his enthusiasm for the guts of the game. Time and time again, he would come back to the basic techniques of blocking and tackling. On one occasion, his Green Bay Packers lost a game that he clearly thought that they should have won. In his disappointment, Coach Lombardi called a practice the very next morning. As the men sat there silently, looking more like whipped puppies than a team of champions, Lombardi began by staring through each athlete, one at a time. Then he held up a football. And raising his voice, he said, "Okay, this morning we go back to basics. Gentlemen, this is a football." How basic can you get? He's got guys sitting in that locker room who've played the sport of football for 10 or 15 years, who knew the game intimately, and he stands there and introduces to them a football. Why in the world would a seasoned coach talk to professional athletes like that? Well, apparently, it worked. It was this particular team that had three consecutive world championships. You see, Lombardi operated on a simple philosophy. He believed that excellence could be best achieved by perfecting the basics of the sport. Now, I tell this story to encourage all of us to go back to the basics, especially when it comes to prayer. Jesus, in both the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, through the Lord's Prayer, teaches us exactly that. He gives his disciples and us the basics of prayer. Basic number one: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first basic is to always begin praying by acknowledging who God really is. He is holy and he is our Father. When we acknowledge God for who he is, our hearts should melt in awe and humility. For though he's in heaven, God desires to dwell with us here and now on earth. Though he alone is holy, his eagerness to connect with us is found in the great gift of his Son, Jesus. This basic of prayer opposes the myth that we are random specks of matter floating through space and time. It opposes the myth that our lives do not matter. Rather, heaven and earth both join together in the opening line of this prayer. Basic number two: Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God was ushered in by Christ when he died on the cross. And when he left this earth, he commissioned all of us, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, to spread the gospel and help the kingdom flourish. So here in basic number two, Jesus is clearly telling us what to pray for. He wants us to pray for the conversion of all souls, that his kingdom might not only be in heaven, but also here on earth. We are called to be active participants in promoting the kingdom of God. Basic number three: Thy will be done. Jesus here is instructing us through his words and his life example to model the surrender to the Father. As he prayed through the most painful night of his life, Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Jesus lived his entire life in surrender to his Father's will, and he calls us to do the same and to be content in the will of the Father. Basic number 4, give us this day our daily bread. Just so our prayers are rooted in real living, Jesus reminds the disciples that we are dependent on God for everything. For today's food, for our next breath. He invites us to ask the Father for everything and anything according to his desire. Basic number 4 is an acknowledgement of our dependence on God and our complete trust in his love for us. Basic number 5, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus tells us to ask for God's protection against evil. This is an acknowledgement that we are not living in a Disney fairy tale. We are living in the real world where cancer and violence and difficulty exists, where we are tested and where bad things happen for no clear reason. We live in this world confident in God's love and goodness and his help, even in the midst of the most challenging moments of our lives. Basic number 6. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus was one who would always get right to the point and to the root cause of things. And in basic number 6, he tells us why so many prayers rise only ceiling high. It's so often all about forgiveness. Such an amazing gift from God, yet such a huge hurdle in our relationships with others. In essence, he says that our prayer's effectiveness depends upon our willingness to forgive someone else. We are meant to forgive and be forgiven, to be reconciled with each other. Is it not true that the greatest happiness comes from relationships? And the key to great relationships is reconciliation and forgiveness. And finally, basic number 7. Although it's not part of the Lord's Prayer, but rather an extension of it and found within the text of our gospel today, Jesus says this. He says, "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Our willingness to ask and seek God in prayer is an act of faith and a humble acknowledgement that we need our Creator to live this life. When we acknowledge God to be the author of all life, all blessings, Jesus says the Father is duly honored. And we acknowledge this at Mass after we pray thee, our Father, when we say, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." You see, everything we have, we receive from his hand. Think about that. Believe it. For there could be no other way to pray than to thank him for all that we have and all that he is. Life is to be lived for the glory of God, not to satisfy our own small desires. For we are beings with a higher calling and a greater purpose. So in the basics of prayer, Jesus directs us to worship, to petition, to confess, and to give thanksgiving. This guide on how to pray given to us by Jesus has just over 60 words and takes less than a minute to say. Yet these words shape our identity, give purpose to our lives, check our greed, remind us of our imperfections, offer a way of reconciliation, and call us to live for the glory of God. Now, though your conversation with God may include more than the Lord's Prayer, it's not a bad idea to review the basics every once in a while. For within this prayer are found the fundamentals of a really good prayer life. This basics that we study may not win you a football championship, but it may get you into eternal life.